Our scripture reading is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto him, that ye be not so shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Well, good morning, everybody. What's happening in the news this last week? This is an election sermon. It used to be a tradition in American churches that the preachers would give messages regarding what was going on in their current events at that time. America has lost its way, especially in the churches. And one could almost say that we're without a prayer. I hope to do more election sermons like the one I'm giving today. And I wish more churches would, but we know that they can't, because they've contracted with the state as 501c3 churches, which prohibits them from making political commentaries. Well, I've been writing about the establishment for decades, and I decided to dedicate a sermon not to the establishment, but to the establishment of truth. Now, there's a lot of fanfare and talk of the establishment in this election year, 2016. Ever wonder why they call it the establishment? Do Christians really yearn for the establishment of the kingdom of God? Who or what is the establishment in the United States? Well, if we were to synthesize the divine dialectic, the establishment is not the kingdom, and the kingdom is not the establishment. She knows. The antithesis of God's kingdom is often cited as Babylon. The establishment is a hive of secret societies that have connections to the mystery religions, and they want the world. Any Christian worth their salt should know that in prophecy, the establishment is known as Mystery Babylon. Well, that was pretty easy to connect those two dots, but what and why is the establishment doing what they do? Where and when did this establishment rear its ugly head in America? How did they establish themselves as the establishment? Well, I'll tell you something. Nothing can succeed politically without a spiritual resolve. And by that, I don't necessarily mean something good. It can be an evil spirit, a corruption of the soul that becomes the establishment. And the soul of our nation has become corrupt because of the establishment. With the mind, we serve the law of God, but with the flesh, we serve the law of sin. America has become mindless, for mind control rules the land. The establishment has raped the mind of its slaves. If you go to my website and type in establishment in the search box in the upper right-hand corner, you'll find 7 pages, and 90% of them are speaking about the religious establishment or establishments. After 10 years of political activism in the now defunct Populist Party, I had an epiphany one day that nothing can be accomplished without a spiritual compass. History is replete with governments necessitating a state religion. A priestcraft would rationalize and or justify the actions of its government. But the original dialectic was from God in the Garden of Eden between 2 trees representing life and death. Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and became mortals, flesh which corrupts into rotten rigor mortis. The byproduct was history, or his story, to establish mankind on earth for the kingdom of God. It didn't get off to a very good start, as Adamites lost their racial purity, and there was only one family that had maintained the integrity of their generations perfectly. So God established his covenant with Noah. We read, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." This is the first place in the Bible where the two words establish and covenant are found. It establishes two things. One, the covenant of providence, that the course of nature shall be continued to the end of time. And two, the covenant of grace, that God would be a God to Noah, and that out of his seed God would take to himself a race of people. Now, this theme is reiterated throughout the Bible, that the only one race was earmarked to be a reflection of God's will. When God establishes something, it becomes the establishment of fact. That's the truth and reality. It was not a temporary deal with Noah alone. For how long then? God said to Abraham, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." But doesn't Jesus in the New Testament make new provisions for other races? No. The exclusiveness of God choosing Israel cannot include those whom he had no intelligent design to preserve or establish alongside Israel. It would be ambiguous for them to be together in the kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. Now to Abraham the promises have been spoken, and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, as of many, but as of one, and to your offspring, which are anointed. That last part is translated in the Christogenia New Testament. So what makes anybody think that what God has said in concrete can be changed? Well, that is exactly what most Masoretic texts twist in this verse. It says singular, not plural seeds or races. And then the last phrase, mistranslate it by saying, who is Christ, as in the King James or many others. It deprives the seed of Abraham, the heirs of the promises, to the singular individual Jesus Christ, contradicting Scripture. The verse is deracinated by the rabbinic establishment that permeates most Judaized seminaries and Bible colleges, thinking Ishmael or the sons of Keturah and Esau or the Edomites could also be heirs, and thus the theology of universalism. Paul just declared that nobody can arbitrarily add to or amend the Word of God, and yet that is exactly what the Jew did and does with impunity today, because they establish their authority on the Babylonian Talmud, which is a circumvention of divine authority in God's law. Our fathers fell asleep at the wheel. Silence is implied consent. So we can safely say that the original establishment or foundation of law was created by God, and that it was racial in nature. There would be an enemy that would try to topple it. The instrument of law, or covenant with his chosen people, continued with Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac's sons later became known as Saxons. Quote, your wife Sarah will bear you a son and will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And then again, with Jacob and his sons, who would be known collectively as the 12 tribes of Israel. Quote, I will turn to you, make you fruitful and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Now, the Hebrew word for establish is kum, number 6965 in Strong's Concordance, and it simply means to rise. We would rise above all other people that are upon the face of the earth, Deuteronomy 7:6. But there were stipulations in Leviticus 26, as well as the blessings and curses of Deuteronomy 28, that could fall just as easily as we rise. It depended on who the establishment was. The very first commandment prohibited any other establishment of gods before or above our Father in heaven, because none of them were real. The law stated that the racial alien shall not rule over thee, because that means the alien would have risen to the status of God's covenant people, and what God established would have been usurped with an inferior substitute. How could such a thing happen? Are you getting tired of me constantly referring to Exodus 23:33? They shall not dwell in thy land. No multicultural diversity at all, period. Why? Quote, this people, meaning Israel, will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Leviticus 26 makes it clear that if the nations of Israel did not hearken to the law and stooped to despising and abhorring the statutes and judgments of God, then a slew of afflictions would come upon the chosen race of God. For those not up to speed on the establishment of truth, the people we know as Jews today were never descended from Israelites and therefore have no covenant established by God with them. When our white ancestors forsook what God established for them, they received a promise from God, not the blessed types, but curses. Quote, I will punish you. I will bring sudden terrors upon you, wasting diseases and burning fevers that will cause your eyes to fail and your life to ebb away. You will plant your crops in vain because your enemies will eat them. Those who hate you will rule over you. I will break the pride of your power. I will send armies against you to carry out the curse of the covenant you have broken. And I will scatter you among the heathen. And I will unsheath the sword after you. And your land shall become desolation. And your cities shall be waste. If you don't want the original establishment from God, this is what you can expect. Another establishment that is not friendly to you or your kind at all. Another establishment is alluded to in the New Testament as another gospel and another Christ. The religious establishment has brought forth an apostate church that supports the rise of usury and the love of money. However, if we confess our iniquities and that of our fathers, that is, the trespass against our God, in which we walk contrary to our God, and as a consequence mix with the racial aliens, then a solution presents itself to the nation race, and here it is. If we humbled ourselves and accepted the punishments we deserved, rather than trying to vote our way out of it for yet another version of Babylon's establishment, then verse 42 of Leviticus 26 promises this, quote, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. End quote. Then we can remember what our God established in the beginning. Then we will have eyes to see the life that the Judaized religious establishment has stolen from us, to see the church of rigor mortis and the governments of wickedness in high places. There is no more a separation of church and state than there is opposition to the establishment without Christ. That's how far down the slippery slope we've gone. Remember the Borg? For any of you Trekkies? They were part organic and part android and would assimilate everyone they came into contact with, transformed into the mass mind, erasing any memory of their old life. When they first communicated with the Enterprise, the cold mechanical voice said, we are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technology distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile. Remember that? How ironic that today's establishment has the same initiative to absorb all peoples, religions, governments, and economies of the world into one. They say history repeats itself. Case in point, the Tower of Babel triggered a divine intervention. And I believe God is not mocked. And we can expect a repeat performance to confound the mixed multitudes. Only those who know in their hearts that it's time to get racist, who will understand the signs of the times. By and large, in this Orwellian world, nobody is opposed to the establishment other than Christian Identity. Because we see the wickedness of government supported by Judeo-Christians. Some people may consider themselves anti-establishment, but it's for the wrong reasons. We are against the establishment for the same elements in today's reading in 2 Thessalonians. That is, those who oppose and exalt themselves above any deity or object of worship. That is the only way the establishment can rise above the one true Creator God of the universe, to be the absolute adversary of God Almighty. It's a racial reality that has blinded Israel in part. An enemy has planted the seeds of mongrelization. Just as the kingdom is constituted of four elements, namely land, people, law, and a king, so too is the establishment of man, with the vicarious proviso of acquisition of land, subjugation of people, imposition of law, and the deification of man. Quite a contrast, don't you think? That's why God's kingdom and rule is likened to a wooden yoke, whereas the yoke of beast empires is made of iron. This is what Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The Lord could have just as easily said, "Take my establishment." Why do Christians forget what the Creator of land said? "The land shall not be sold forever. The land is mine, and you are only foreigners and temporary residents on my land." Well, nobody, not one family, dynasty, nor any establishment of man or racial alien in history has ever owned the land in perpetuity. All the great civilizations have fallen because of miscegenation more than anything else. Does this not establish God as the owner of his own creation? Ancient Israel was given a chance to establish the kingdom in the promised land. But they were given the command to eradicate the occupants of the land, the Canaanites. They failed to obey God. The adversaries of God, on the other hand, want the amalgamation of all human beings to reside on earth without any borders, with a one-world government void of Christ. The establishment of homogenization and mongrelization of religion and economics, that is Mystery Babylon. Don't you know it takes a village idiot to raise the children of the future? All covenant blessings are summed up in the covenant relationship, "I will be your God and you shall be my people." And they are all grounded upon the redemption. Having purchased them, God would own them and never cast them off until they cast him off. In my last message, A Judicial Conundrum, we indeed saw how our ancestors rejected the system of judges that God established for them as their established form of government. They cast off God's way and whored after strange gods, wanting to be like other non-Israelite nations. They went with the iron yoke, and it was a heavy price to pay for even greater burdens. It begs the question, how could they be so stupid? The answer is found in the same chapter as today's scripture reading, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 11. Speaking of a satanic adversary, which can only be found in the Jews, the lineal descendants of Esau, Edom. Quote, the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. The establishment that is usurping God's authority. A religion that sanctions the nullification of all vows and oaths for the coming year, known as the Kol Nidre, that is, bearing false witness. Here's what it says, starting in verse 9, 2 Thessalonians, quote, whose presence is in accordance with the operation of the adversary in all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and in every trick of unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they accepted not the love of truth for them to be preserved, end quote. Can you imagine an entire breed of Antichrist or Jews whose sole modus operandi is the dark world of psyops? That means psychological operations employed in warfare. And it is white Christians who are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's who they target. White people really can't fathom the extent to which Jews make the big lie a Talmudic lifestyle. And here's the kicker, quote, because of this, God will send them a powerful delusion so that they will believe what is false. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Christians should know that the establishment is not the way to go. And yet millions of our people are led into the slaughterhouse. It's not the way of Christ, but that's what we've done. An entire nation was led into a fratricidal war based on lies, with brothers killing brothers, so that the Jew could get rich and powerful. Or an establishment that can give a wink and subsidize the abomination of Planned Parenthood, a non-profit, for-profit organization that admittedly harvests and sells baby parts from aborted fetuses. The nuclear family, which is the foundation of God's chosen people, has been fooled that raising a family isn't worth it. Amos 3:2 reads, you only have I chosen among the families of the earth. So no families, no chosen people. Instead, the traditional family is blended or contaminated with mongrels. Same-sex marriages produce no children. And adopted non-whites into white families exacerbate the maintenance of racial purity. To even utter the words racial purity is the bane of political correctness. A society that encourages or forces our young couples to avoid marriage and child rearing is the self-indulgence of hedonism. A young man may forego the trials and tribulations of raising a family, but he also forfeits the joys and love of family and propagating our race. The institution of marriage is being dismantled by the establishment, How many politicians dared to follow Christ last year when they could have stood up for a county clerk right here in Kentucky, Kim Davis, who refused to sign a license for sodomites to marry? In past presidential elections, family was a big issue, but no longer. Only an enemy could create a hostile environment for strong families in the Lord. Stout, disciplined fathers creating well-adjusted and healthy children, and motherhood as the pinnacle of a woman's life. Without monogamy enforced by a Christian theocracy, society will be reduced to the level of animals and beastly baser instincts. The white race was created by God to rise above the animal, which is why we are the only creatures on earth with the Spirit of God. Babylon does everything to quench that spirit. How can our society be so vulnerable to these con artists turned social engineers who celebrate dumb candidates and dumber voters? How? It is several generations raised on television and never having an original thought of their own. It is taking the pulpit pounder's word as gospel rather than taking the gospel as the word of God. It is having no other valuation of things other than materialism. It is sentencing our children to 12 years of Marxist indoctrination, schooling their minds into politically correct mush. We can only sink to the bottom with other bottom feeders because we denied our God-given destiny predicated on spiritual values. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, there's nothing that says we have to play their game, which I have mentioned quite a lot lately. That is the dirty little secret disclosed by Jewish author Maurice Samuels, to wit, quote, "Beyond all temporary alliances with this or that faction lies the ultimate split in nature and destiny, the enmity between the game and God," end quote. As more and more people bow out of their game, they come to bow before Christ. That's what we do. You might ask, what game? Well, the temporary alliances between one backstabbing faction over another group of backstabbers. We live in a country where the only game in town is the two-party system. Third parties can't even get a ticket into the game. All winners and losers in the game are owned by the same establishment. If a maverick franchise tries to move in on their game, it becomes the assassination game. Quote, "There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high office, I intend to expose this plot," end quote. You know who said that? John F. Kennedy said that 7 days before his assassination. The game takes no prisoners. The rules of the game are superficial. The game is officiated by cowards. People that get stabbed in the back usually don't see it coming. Pop singer, expert skier, and Congressman Sonny Bono going down a hill of fresh snow, didn't see the tree that he ran into, killing him as he was investigating the Branch Davidian massacre in Waco, Texas at the time. Too bad he wasn't a Christian, knowing how the game is played. As more and more of our people bow out of their game and bow before Christ, we will rise to our manifest destiny. God will protect us against the establishment. They might kill us, but do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Their game has no effect on our salvation. If God is for us, who can be against us? Our destiny is unstoppable and inevitable. The elections of man are transient and fleeting. This is a message for those who fight the establishment of devils. As peaceful as your protest may be, it threatens the establishment and those in charge of it. To think they will just roll over and hand the empire over to you is stupidity. They are going to fight. They are going to lie. They are going to do anything in their power to keep the establishment the way it is. I think it's important to remember that anything they do to you is nothing compared to what they do to all of us and have done to us in the past. And if not stopped, will continue to do to us in the future. So when they fight you, and they will, keep in mind it's a sure sign that what you are fighting is working. Now, Donald Trump is the designated hitter in the game for student body president because it doesn't rise above the animal level of donkey and elephant and doesn't even come close to the stature of the government of Christ. He's the star of the show, yeah, because the establishment knows what the people want to hear. How do they know? They're the ones who have a better understanding of biblical cause and effect than we do. They can imitate the principles of dialectics that God originated and thus play God in their game of enmity or opposition. They can even pretend to be the opposition party, the controlled opposition. Now, during Reconstruction, Northern newspapers hired thugs to commit atrocities in the name of the KKK. Today, the CIA and Mossad pretend to be opposed to ISIS, when in fact they created and manipulate ISIS. I contend that the establishment pretends to be opposed to Trump, when in fact everything indicates a sloppy charade as flimsy as the inside job of 9/11. Anybody who studied the JFK assassination knows that all of the discrepancies of the Warren Commission belie the lone nut theory. Likewise, the 9/11 Commission was a sham, creating more questions than answers. I think history will demonstrate that the 2016 election was an elegantly staged dialectic to establish the establishment for the next generation of deracinated tax slaves. Pundits say Trump is tapping into the anger of Americans. If they're angry about their shrinking wallets, their priorities are not right. What's in your wallet? What's in Trump's wallet? $10 billion? What's he got to be angry about? Rich people are never held accountable for their ill-begotten wealth. That is, until recently, because Babylon is falling. A debt usury system can only last for so long before it implodes. Babylon is desperate. And that's why the antics of this election year are so weird. Out of a population of 250 million people, there's a crop of candidates that shouldn't even be elected dog catcher. Our own people provoke God to anger, and all we get is this lousy actor who pretends to be angry, feeding off angry voters, or shall we say tax slaves. It's pure theater. If you have the eyes to see it, and a bag of popcorn. There are so many things wrong about Trump, and yet he hits a nerve that resonates with those who know something is terribly wrong with America. How long he can maintain this charade is anybody's guess, but he is aided and abetted by the media. It doesn't matter whether it's good press or bad. He's soaking up attention like a sponge. It would be quite easy to be caught in the currents of the Trump riptide if for no other reason than to flip the bird to the establishment. However, there is a disturbing affection of some identity Christians, or it's more like an affliction, who are acting like secular white nationalists and David Duke clones that should know better. Trump is not a loose cannon, but a big gun to throw the election much more elegantly than Ross Perot ever did. Please tell me, what's the difference between a Democratic Party's foreign policy establishment and the GOP's neocon establishment? What if I told you that the left wing and the right wing belong to the same turkey? That liberals, as well as conservatives, for fear of the Jews, serve the same master. Both are firmly entrenched in what Ike the Kike warned about, a military-industrial complex that he didn't finish explaining, which is perpetual wars for the kingdom of Israelized global economy. When Trump first began his carefully crafted tirades, which launched his bid for the GOP nomination, he said, reading from a script, which he very seldom does, but he read this, quote, "Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on." And the crowd went nuts. I can tell you what's going on. The same plotters to whom JFK warned us about have been plotting World War III, pitting the world's three biggest religions against each other. That is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, since Albert Pike, who Pastor Elmore mentioned last week, laid out this plot in 1871. Pike prophesied three world wars, and two have come and gone. This is what he said about the final act of political theater. Quote, "The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionist and the leaders of Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilist and the atheist, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which in all its horrors will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil." Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time, end quote. Now, I'm not too much of a boy crying wolf or Illuminati, because wolves and secret societies have a tendency to disguise themselves. They're terrific actors on the world stage. But the ancient thespians were commonly understood to simply be entertaining liars. Is there anything new under the sun? Some people say Pike's words were a fake. But regardless, somebody has taken them to heart and put them into play. The notorious protocols have also been denied as forgeries, and yet the strategies have been implemented and have come to pass. God is in control and allowing them to think they are some kind of almighty establishment. But if Christian identity has anything to do about it, it is to identify the truth and set our people free from the illusions and make-believe world of politics. Why? Because bearing false witness is a sin, and the wages of sin is death. Too many of our people have died in senseless, no-win wars promulgated by the Jews and Jew lackeys like Donald Trump. As I was working on this message, Friday evening erupted in a perfect storm of Marxist dialectics at a Trump rally in Chicago. A planned disruption of the rally was orchestrated by Black Lives Matter and Move On, the former of which is financed by Jew billionaire George Soros. Some $30 million to the thugs in Ferguson, Missouri, and has spread like a cancer. Trump set a precedent which will be his legacy in the foreseeable future, that he surrendered to the violent racial aliens. Here's a breakdown of the dialectic. The thesis is that Trump, representing what the media represented as hate-filled rhetoric, the antithesis is the anti-Trump hate-filled violence. The synthesis was a victory for mobocracy, the rule of the mob. Trump's reason for postponing and then canceling the event was so that nobody got hurt. He could have shown leadership and let his 10,000 supporters, who waited for hours to hear him speak, compared to a couple hundred protesters, beat these commie bastards into a pulp. And they would have. But that wasn't the planned attack on a greater scale designed by the establishment against the rights of white Christian America. Free speech suffered a major blow because of Donald Trump unable to stand his ground. The follow-up, which Trump called a planned attack, was a marshmallow excuse that it was just angry people who needed jobs. He refused to call a spade, and say that the mob was a mix of cultural Marxist defending the criminal thugs of color that act above the law. Let's face it, it's either white power or black power that will rise to the top. When it comes to the race card, Trump is a disgraceful coward. If the colored thugs hadn't showed up, there would have been five hours of news coverage? I don't think so. Evidently, Cruz, Rubio, and Kasich, they all blame Trump for the violence, and that says a lot about their loyalties to the establishment line. That the American people bow before the scumbag bums who don't want a job, they want to live their criminal lifestyles with impunity and make white races pay for their luxuries. It was a time to get racist and act like God's battle axe. Before there was political correctness, there was free expression of thought. The establishment wishes to establish thought crime laws. In other words, don't even think about calling a spade, or you will suffer violence. Jesus would have correctly stated that he wasn't part of the establishment. One of the few things he told his people not to think about was in Matthew 5:17. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Jesus would not approve of today's bond between church and state, which are both corrupt and satanic. The truth is, white people are angry, and they have every right to be. If white people were awakened to the real cause of their anger and not just superficial dialectics, then they would start thinking about the law and the prophets that Christ said he didn't come to destroy. And the next thing you know is that the establishment would be falling rather than rising. Trump is a wealthy businessman, so evidently he doesn't have time or inclination to read, believe, and obey the Word of God, even though he says it's his favorite book, just above his second favorite book, The Art of the Deal. I haven't read his book, but I doubt that he even gave God lip service. You know what would really be terrific? If Trump got the identity message, it would change the game. The most poignant aspect of his betrayal is that he gave his daughter to the Jews, and she has embraced Judaism. But he said that he's never had to ask God for forgiveness. Wow, can you believe that? Evidently, the establishment evangelicals do, as he brags about winning that demographic. When so many white people put their faith in a two-legged savior, not to say that heroes like William Wallace or Nathan Bedford Forrest or Adolf Hitler rescued their people from the establishments of their day, if the law of God was not ignited in their heart and mind, they never would have made their campaigns great. And nobody will make America great again without our kinsman redeemer, who inspires victory. Any Christian civilization is vulnerable if its value system of right and wrong is changed to something else. We see this in history with Constantine diluting the apostolic faith with religious equality, with the Catholic Church adopting paganism into its dogma, with Jews hyphenating Protestant reforms with the false identity. And today, an apostate church with 35,000 denominations. Jews perceive non-Jews as a threat to their criminal enterprise. Their hatred, especially of Christ and Christians, is their unity of purpose. It requires a hierarchy of elite Jews, a caste system down to the lowliest of Jews. It is imperative for them to establish a deception even amongst themselves. For example, almost every Jew believes in the sacred Holocaust, and those who don't are pariahs. Judaism establishes an intelligentsia hidden to the masses. Otherwise, they would be vulnerable to somebody else that wants to be king of the mountain, to topple the establishment. And I've mentioned in the past that there are factions within the cabal of conspirators fighting an internecine war. Over 100 years ago, the Jews took over America with the Federal Reserve Act. In 1863, the Rothschild brothers of London issued a statement saying, quote, "The few who understand the system will either be so interested from its profits or so dependent on its favors that there will be no opposition from that class," end quote. And not to be left out for its audacity, a more famous quote from the same tribe, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws." These two quotes are the feet upon which the beast sits. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. I think Trump and Hillary and all the rest of the traitors to America are making every attempt to make Babylon great again. The verse just cited says it has fallen twice because it has two legs to stand on. And its foundation, which is the dialectical thesis and antithesis, is the game that they play. However, I believe Mystery Babylon is predicated on two basic things, religion and economics. The Rothschilds understood this formula for creating an establishment of their own. I think for those who have eyes to see that there is only a remnant of Christianity left in the world today, and it does not conform to equality, paganism, or amalgamation. It is Christian identity that stands in defiance of apostasy and resist the devils of the establishment. So the establishment has only one leg left to stand on, and that's their filthy lucre. And it's crumbling apart. The hysteria for Trump ignores what the Bible has to say about the rich entering the kingdom of God. Why would anybody admire somebody who says, "You can never be too greedy," or, "My whole life I've been greedy, greedy, greedy. I've grabbed all the money I could get. I'm so greedy. But now I want to be greedy for the United States. I want to grab all that money. I'm going to be greedy for the United States," end quote. I heard Trump say, "We've got to pay off the national debt." Really? Maybe he hasn't done the math. But if we pay $10 million a day, it'll take 5,000 years to pay off. If he were a Christian and paying attention to Iceland, he would repudiate the debt, declaring a jubilee, and start arresting the bankers. Now, there's a smart way to channel people's anger, huh? And who would be paying the debt off to? Why, it would be the people who loaned it to us, whom we, or should I say Congress, gave the power to issue money. Boy, was that a mistake. Does Trump love you or love your money? I stand by my earlier guess a while ago that Hillary will be the next Jezebel, president. She said defiantly in a debate with Bernie, the Jew commie Sanders, last week, when asked if she would drop out of the 2016 race if she was indicted over her email server controversy. And she said, "Oh, for goodness, that is not going to happen. I'm not even going to answer that question," end quote, implying confidently that she is not going to be indicted. To buttress her shiny little halo, Negress Attorney General Loretta Lynch made it clear the other day that the Justice Department does not have an obligation to prosecute Hillary Clinton, even if the FBI does recommend charges be filed. She must have read The Art of the Deal. Trump has said that if elected, he would prosecute Hillary for the email breach of national security, being that others have gone to jail for lesser breaches. Trump said he didn't know if there is such a thing as the establishment. Quote, "But whether you call them the establishment or not, they should embrace it. We're way up with millions of people. We will win the election easily," end quote. I think he knows who they are. He also said, and this is very revealing, quote, "I've been playing this game for a long time, folks, from the other side. I changed sides. I was total establishment. Now I'm like the worst thing that ever happened to the establishment because I understand the game." Any of the establishment prostitutes can be called out of the bullpen any time when there's a part for them to play in the game. There are players and there are useful idiots, and sometimes it's difficult to discern which is which. If you watch Fox News, and I confess that I do while pinching my new nose from the New World odor, there's a feisty female judge turned TV commentator, Judge Jeanine Pirro, who made an interesting comment on March 6th. She said, quote, "There's an insurrection coming. Mitt Romney just confirmed it. We've watched governors, the National Review, conservative leaders, establishment, and party operatives trash Donald Trump. But Mitt Romney will always be remembered as the one who put us over the edge and awoke a sleeping giant, the silent majority, the American people. Fact, the establishment is panicked. Mitt essentially called for a brokered convention where the Republican nominee will be selected by party activists and delegates irrespective of their state's choice. The call? To vote for whomever has the best chance of beating Donald Trump. You want a brokered convention? A primer, Mitt. Whenever we have one, we lose." End quote. Well, exactly. When there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, there has to be a theater of politics to convince people there's a choice. And they can rake in a lot of dough in the process. But they must, at all cost, maintain the illusion that there is a free and legitimate election. Lady, hate to tell you this, but fair elections ended with Kennedy. She went on to say, "You are so entrenched that you are willing to give Hillary Clinton the win. It doesn't matter to you which party. Crony capitalism and its paradigm will not change for the elite. Let the American people suffer along the way, Mitt. If you're so concerned about our country, where were you when Barack Obama lied to us, saying we could keep our health care and our doctor? Where were you when the Clinton Foundation runs one of the biggest 501c3s in the world, which strikes me as a money laundering organized criminal enterprise, parading as nothing more than a shell to pay campaigners and Clinton operatives to secure her election? You're so offended by Trump's language, but not Barack Obama's condemnation of those who cling to God and guns. Yes, there's an insurrection coming. We are fed up. We are sick of the lies, the veils, and the games. Remember our history when we were fed up with monarchy? Be careful. Be very careful. Do not disrespect the man who makes sense to us. Because when you disrespect him, you disrespect the will of the American people. And that's not a good place to be," end quote. Well, this could be a declaration of independence. But it's not the will of the people that counts. It's God's will that matters. And there is absolutely no vacancy for any other establishment than the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. When Jefferson penned those famous words, which can be construed as inspired, we should not forget that the white race to whom he addressed were endowed with certain unalienable rights by the true God of the Bible, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. May we humble ourselves today, seeking the authority of God and none other. May God have mercy on our nation, having, quote, a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states, end quote. May God raise up messengers of the truth that will make our people free of the mystery religions and deliver us from Babylon's love of money. May the gods of this world be purged from our body politic and never be established again. Thank you.